This is Reverend Anu Dudley for Esoterica, a short feature that explores the realm beyond the five senses, with a piece about Lost and Found on Matagammon. A few summers ago, we had an interesting encounter with, shall we say, unwildlife, when we took a canoe trip on Grand Lake Matagammon in Baxter State Park. We pitched our tent at Trout Brook Farm Campground, and each day we paddled down the quarter-mile length of Trout Brook Stream to Matagammon to explore and fish. Finding Matagammon from Trout Brook Stream is easy. Just follow the stream and head for the big lake in the distance. But coming back is more difficult, because the mouth of the stream is obscured by a scattering of boulders, making it look, to the untrained eye, not much different from the rest of the shoreline. And, of course, there are no street signs to mark the entrance. Experienced paddlers, we knew to look around us and memorize the pattern of boulders and the scraggly pine that marked the stream, so we could find our way back to our tent. One morning we cooked ploys for breakfast, and that's why we were still in the campground when a car with New York plates drove into the clearing. It had a camouflage canoe on top, and the couple, who looked to be in their 20s, were dressed completely in camouflage. From their loud conversation with each other, we overheard that they were from New York City. They had come, they actually said, to conquer the wilderness. They shoved off and paddled down Trout Brook Stream. Early next morning, as we sipped our coffee and watched the mist rise off the stream, two game wardens drove up and asked about the New York couple whose car was still parked in the clearing. They had not returned, and since they had no reservations for any lake sites, they were presumed missing. The wardens got their motorboat and went in search of them. Now, Matagammon is a big lake, and the morning was full of mist. But by mid-morning, the wardens had located them and guided them back to Trout Brook Stream. The wardens told us later that the couple had been unable to find the stream entrance and had been forced to spend the night at the water's edge, about a half mile from the stream. Their rescue was delayed because even after the mist had lifted, and even though the couple were jumping up and down and waving their arms at the warden's boat, the couple had been hard to spot because they were dressed all in camouflage. Back at the campground, we overheard them loudly deriding the wardens for taking so long to rescue them, and loudly criticizing what they called the managers of the lake for not clearing and widening the entrance to the stream to make it more obvious. They also complained about the lack of signs. Last seen, they were heading off on foot along the shoreline. We overheard them say they wanted to see a bear. Sneak up on a bear was how the young woman put it. Oh, dear. When we returned from canoeing at the end of the day, the car with the New York plates was gone, so they must have found their way back. Now, it's not hard to get a laugh at the expense of city folks like these. Lots of Maine humor pokes fun at people from away with comical ignorance as they try to negotiate Maine culture and landscape. But what struck me about this New York couple was not so much their ignorance. After all, we're all ignorant about some things, and the remedy is simply a willingness to learn. What struck me were the assumptions they made, assumptions that got in the way of learning. So accustomed were they to the built environment, the man-made world, whose reference points are almost exclusively the needs and wants of people, they were unable to see the natural world, whose reference points are the relationships among plants, animals, soil, water, wind, and sun. The New York City couple seemed to have expected Matagammon to be an adventure theme park with just enough special effects to simulate wilderness. Or perhaps they saw it as an adventure video game, exciting but without any real-world consequences. At the end of the day, they could just take off their camouflage costumes and go home. Maybe they saw themselves as heroes in their own adventure movie. After all, in their minds, they did conquer the wilderness by surviving a night in the wild, such as it was, on tranquil Metagammon. It's too bad they had only a one-dimensional adventure. It's one thing to venture into the woods. It's quite another to venture beyond one's assumptions. If they had, they might have found that wildness is not a predator to be fought and conquered. Instead, it is a multidimensional entity, and all parts of it work in a cohesive, symbiotic way to support the whole. And if they had stayed long enough, they might have found a comfortable, cooperative place for themselves, not as vanquishers, but as companionable denizens of the woods. And they probably wouldn't have gotten lost. This is Reverend Anu Dudley for Esoterica. Thanks for listening.